The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I thought once again I'd tell you about our first reading, right, from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, partly because in the Gospel we've been hearing from Luke Gospels that we heard very recently on Sundays in recent weeks, and I am bereft of ideas. I am not a limitless repository of thoughts. It takes a while for them to germinate and grow, kind of like a new tree growing up. So here's a little thought for you from St. Paul's letter to the Romans that you heard today. Magnificent passage here from St. Paul's letter in our first reading. And when you hear St. Paul writing to the Romans, don't forget what the whole letter is all about. It's about answering this big question: what puts us on right terms with God? And Paul answers that it begins with God's own righteousness. It's the only source of goodness. And that he shares that with us, and that he's going to share it with his people Israel, and that he asks some things of us in return, some of the ways in which we act and which we behave. That's a brief outline of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. But remember how he brings about that justification. It isn't from coasting from easy victory to easy victory. And just as an aside, this is where a lot of people stop persevering in their faith, and where a lot of new converts to the faith stumble. We'll have a wonderful experience, for example, of God's providence and his presence, and we'll have a deep sense of life's meaning and purpose. And we expect it always going to be like that. Maybe we're always going to be prosperous and popular and healthy. And then something happens we just flat out don't understand. Well, God does not lead us to righteousness by going from easy victory to easy victory. There's a path to righteousness, and it's to absolute certain victory. Don't get me wrong. It's just that the path is the same one Jesus walked. You have to go through his suffering, and you have to go through his death. Sometimes literally, but often figuratively. If you follow that path of willingness to go through the darkness, you can't lose. But we've got to keep going as we follow him down that path. That, by the way, is an understanding of how God is the Lord of history, and how hardship, suffering, tragedy, war, all these horrible things are not incompatible with God's providence, that he's orchestrating all things to deliver a hidden blessing. Okay, but when we're hearing St. Paul talk today, he's really talking about to us in our own perseverance and hardships. So when you're going through a time of suffering, it's a time of great confusion, perhaps above all else. Friedrich Nietzsche, the nihilistic, atheistic German philosopher, I rarely quote him from the pulpit, but he had a great quote. He said, "You can suffer any what so long as you have a why." Which is another way of saying that whenever you're going through a darkness, a hardship, you always want to know the reason why. Nothing wrong with wanting to know the reason why. It's just that God's purposes are often too much for our own little minds to comprehend. And we're going to go through times in which we don't know the reason why. And it's tempting to give up in times like that. St. Paul's talking to you in this first reading, if that's what you're going through. And he says, take heart, the Holy Spirit comes to your assistance. Okay, because when you pray in a time of hardship, God not only hears what you have to say, he helps you in what you have to say. And here's where St. Paul says, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness and intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. The Holy Spirit acts as a kind of translator when you don't know how to pray and you don't know what to say. Can I remind you of what prayer is and how to pray? Prayer is very simple. It's very simple. Prayer is the placing of your mind and your heart in God's presence. That's all it is. Don't have to follow fixed formulas. Don't have to follow fixed rules. If your mind and your heart are in God's presence, you're praying. So when you're going through a time of hardship, that's all you have to do. Go to the Lord with your hardship. Don't worry about your words. Don't worry about your thoughts. People will say, oh, I thought this awful thought or had this faithless thought or this blasphemous thought. Forget it. Just put yourself in God's presence and let the Holy Spirit do the rest and translate for you, so to speak, and come to the aid of you in your own weakness. Because as St. Paul says here in the first reading, we don't know how to pray as we ought. See, when you're in a time of pain or hardship, your greatest inclination is just pray God relieve it, pray God relieve it, pray God deliver you from it. Nothing wrong with that prayer. Go ahead and make that prayer. Make that prayer 1,000 times. But please remember, God's purposes are always deeper. When you're going through a time of hardship, you're tempted to think that God is distant, that he's unconcerned, and that he's probably very disappointed with you. And none of that is true. It's just that you have to follow the Lord through his suffering and death if you want to come to his resurrection. What he's doing, in large measure, is forming us into his own image. We come out the other side of our hardships, renewed, transformed, in a way that we can never be hurt in the same way again. And then, like Jesus risen from the dead, we spread that goodness and that blessing to everybody we know. But you've got to follow the Lord through the hardship to get there. This is what Paul means when he says that he makes all things work for the good of those who love God. And your challenge and mine now is to keep faith, and to persevere. So if you're going to prayer and you're in a time of hardship, if nothing seems to be going right, if things seem to be hurting, but you're still persevering and trusting, I got news for you. You're doing it right. Don't quit. Keep up. You know, as we heard here in our gospel, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And that means he's going to suffer and die on the cross. That's what that means. And people stop and ask him, Lord, are many people going to be saved? And Jesus says, just strive to enter in. Don't waste my time and your effort by asking ridiculous questions. You're going to need all your effort to strive to enter in. On Sunday, we heard St. Paul say to Timothy, I'm being poured out like a libation. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. I've fought the good fight. That's St. Paul striving to enter in. Let's you and I do the same. And never lose heart. Amen.